Well, good morning. I bring greetings to you from Camp Cherokee. A bunch of students have been up there this past week, and I was with them, thus the beard. I promised some of the kids that I would let it grow through middle school camp, so I got a lot of work to do to catch up with Michael, but I'm on my way. So, we've had a great week at Camp Cherokee. Many of our high school students are here today or will be here today, and they came back yesterday and literally passed the buses on the highway. We saw some pictures of them taking pictures of each other as they passed. Three buses full of high school students came back, four buses full of middle school students went out. And we have a crew of about 45 people that are at Camp Cherokee right now getting ready. They're actually watching us live stream right now. So, hey, guys, shout out to all y'all. Would y'all just say thank you all over our campuses for what they're doing? And we're watching you, especially you, Jack Knox. We're watching you, so be careful and make sure you're getting ready. A large group of middle schoolers will be arriving this afternoon. Then I'll be heading back up as well to connect with them and to hang out with them for a week. Suffice it to say, God did some amazing things last week, and we anticipate and expect amazing things to continue to happen this week with our middle schoolers. It's kind of interesting, that bumper that you just saw. The four people that are in that vehicle are at Camp Cherokee right now. As a matter of fact, the vehicle is two. So they're up there. It's kind of neat. They're on the ultimate road trip. And we still ask you to pray for our students. As a matter of fact, you can pick up a card as you exit at all of our information counters. Make sure you do that on all of your campuses. And it has the high school names on there from last week. Want you to continue to pray for them as they come home and flesh out the things they learned and the decisions they made. But also it has our leadership team on there, as well as all of our middle schoolers. So really encourage you to continue to pray for them this week. It was super hot last week. And much hotter than here, but the kids were just fantastic, and you should be very, very proud of them, very, very proud of your leadership, and we want to say thank you to those who made it possible for a lot of students to go that would not have been able to go. Have you ever been really, really, I'm talking about really tired, right? I mean, I'm kind of there today. Been at camp for a week, flew in late last night, walked in my front door, my air conditioning's broken. 92 degrees in my house when I walked in last night. But I was so tired, I just laid down in the bed with a fan on me and I was gone, right? Tired. We all get tired, just worn out. And sometimes it's a physical tiredness, right? We just work so hard. Other times it's an emotional tiredness, we're just drained. Sometimes it's a mental tiredness. Our brains just are so just constantly going. And then sometimes it's a spiritual tiredness. We're just worn out. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you came here today a little bit tired. Maybe you're watching us from a distance because you're tired. And you're like, you know, it seems like I can't ever do enough. It seems like I'm not good enough. Seems like I can't get my questions answered. I can't figure it out. And to be honest, Tim, if I'm really, really honest with you, I get tired. That's what we've been talking about during this series. See, a road trip is about getting away from those things that are making us tired. And Jesus knows you're tired. Listen to me, Jesus knows you. Did you know that? He knows you. He knows right where you are. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows your questions. He knows your doubts. He knows your hurts. He knows where you're struggling. He knows you're tired. As a matter of fact, he's been talking to us through this entire series, through this verse. It's found in Matthew chapter 11. It says, are you tired? Now, I always kind of imagined that when Jesus was teaching this, because he was teaching a bunch of people who were just worn out because they're constantly trying to do enough to make God happy. And it was exhausting. And to the point that they kind of gotten jaded with anything to do with God and teaching. And Jesus is doing some amazing things, but they're not really responding to it. And they're just tired. And I got to imagine when Jesus is talking to them, he's not confronting them. He is not chastising them. He's not frustrated with them. Not at all. And he's not with you either. Did you know that? I gotta think that the tone that Jesus had when he said this was kind of like, are you tired? Because I get that. I get the fact that you're tired. Are you guys worn out? Because I understand it. Are you burned out? Are you burned out on all this stuff you're chasing, this religion? Oh my goodness, I get that. See, that's the Jesus I want you to see. We have these pictures of Jesus that many of them are warped. They're just wrong. Jesus is not fussing at the people here. He's looking at them and going and identifying with them. I get what you're feeling, he's saying. You're tired. You're worn out. You're burned out on religion. So I've got an answer. He says, come to me. Get away with me. And if you do, you'll recover your life that you've lost trying to do all these crazy things that you're doing. It just doesn't make sense anymore, people. That's what Jesus is saying. He goes on and he says, I'll show you how to take a real rest. See, the problem is we go away on vacation or we go away to rest, but we don't really rest. Why? Well, because we have these devices in our pocket that keep us connected to all the things that we're trying to rest from. That's one of the things I love about Camp Cherokee. When we get to camp, there's no cell service there. Their phones don't work. We actually take them up, lock them up, and they don't get distracted. So they're really able to rest. They're really able to find God. See, we don't really rest. Jesus said, I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Let me help you figure out how we can partner together. Watch how I do it. Just hang with me, and then you'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He goes on and says, I won't lay anything heavy on you. We talked about this last week. Heavy, ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live. And the ultimate goal is to live freely and lightly. Now, last week we looked at it in the ESV version, which says, come to me all who are labor and are heavy laden. We focused on that heavy laden part. If you missed that, go back and look at it. But we focused on that heavy laden, and what does that look like? And many of us are just toting around and just dragging weight in our lives. He says, come to me if that's you, and I'll give you rest. He goes on, says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I love the fact that that's a picture I have of Jesus. Gentle. Doesn't just slam you, doesn't beat you up. I mean, without raising your hand, how many of you are just tired of getting beaten up at church? Oh, my goodness. I had a lady a couple of years ago come to me. I think it was before we were in this building. And she came to me and says, I can't keep coming to your church. And I said, okay. She said, you're okay with that? I said, sure. I'm okay if you don't come to Bridgepoint, but where are you going to go? She said, well, I need to go someplace where I really feel like the preacher's preaching to me. I said, oh, okay. And she said, yeah, I got two problems. I said, okay, give them to me. She said, number one, you're too transparent. I said, what do you mean? She says, I don't want my preacher to have the same problems I do. I said, well, if you find that guy, let me know, because I'd like to take him and talk with him and spend some time with him, because that'd be a great guy. I think his name's Jesus. Secondly, she said, you're talking about all of this stuff here, and she said, but I need you to beat me up. I said, excuse me? She says, yeah, I don't feel like I've been to church unless I feel bad when I leave. I'm like, you need to go find another church, because I'm not going to do that for you. Because that's not the picture of Jesus that we have. Jesus is saying, I'm gentle. I just want you to find rhythm. I just want you to find life. He doesn't beat us up. Now, when I see gentle, I'm not talking about wimpy Jesus. See, there's a lot of stuff about this picture, wimpy Jesus. You know, the one that's in the paintings? where he's kind of just wimpy. That ain't Jesus either, right? No, he's strong, but he's gentle. You know people like that, right? I have my papa was that way. Strong as an ox, but gentle when he touched you. He says, I want you to find real rest, and I want you to find it for your souls. So we've been talking about that. He goes on, he says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I want to take a few moments to kind of break this down. We've been kind of working through this, looking at this version from the English Standard Version. And today I want to go back to verse 28, and I want to focus in on these words. I will give you rest. Because the truth is, when I said, are any of you tired? A lot of you in the room did this, and a lot of you didn't, but you are. I mean, if we're honest, we're tired. And some of us are spiritually tired, emotionally tired, physically tired, mentally tired. We're just tired. And it's not because we've been at camp for a week. It's because we've been chasing whatever it is that we think is going to satisfy God. And therefore, create a relationship with Him. God wants to give you rest. Did you know that? He wants you to find real rest for your soul. We're soulless people. We do a good job of taking rest physically. We do sometimes a good job of taking rest emotionally and sometimes even mentally. But very few of us take care of our souls. Today I want to talk to you about that. And last week we looked at this thought. We looked at this idea. Jesus wants our souls resting on the surety. Important word there. The absolute belief. The sureness. That He will keep His promises to us, to you, to me, in the best way, at the best time. What is right for us. We grabbed a hold of that. But I want to make sure that you guys truly, truly understand that. That's what God wants for you. And that's what Jesus is calling you to. Now, maybe you look at that and go, Tim, I would love to find that kind of rest. I would love to find that surety. I would love to believe that Jesus wants best for me and that He will give it to me at the best time for me. Tim, I really want that. Well, if that's true today, then I want to give you this big idea. Our souls only find rest in hope. Now, what do I mean by that? What's hope? When I think about hope, I think about next. What is ahead of us? Potential. Right? I thought it was neat that Michael came out today and on this campus. And for those of you on the other campus, Michael was kind of giving us some information about some things that were going on and this Serve Saturday, which, by the way, every single one of you, get out there and serve. Let's put 3,000 people serve in our community. I just think that'd just be totally cool. And I think people might notice something, right? So he was talking about that, for those of you on other campuses, and he said, for those of us with families, see, Michael's a brand new dad. I have never heard him say that. For those of us with families, he got a baby, a little boy. His name is Liam. Got a little baby boy. And so, you know, family, that's super important. And when I think of little babies, when I hold little Liam or Leo downtown, Trevor's campus pastor down there's got a brand new little baby boy named Leo. And there's something in these little water bottles. So y'all need to be very, very careful. Because, I mean, something's happening. But anyway, when I hold those babies, I think of potential. I think of hope. I love our camps. I love our high school students. They were fantastic this week. And I love the middle schoolers too. And some people always ask me, which week do you like better, high school or middle school? And it's hard to choose because they're very, very different. But one thing I like about our middle schoolers, and I'm looking forward to seeing them this evening, is that they have so much potential. They're still young, and there's so much hope in them. That's what Jesus wants for you. Is potential. He wants hope for you. And our souls are only going to find rest in that hope. Check out this passage in Psalm 62. He says, yes, my soul find rest in God. What he's doing is he's making a statement. He's making a hopeful statement. Yes, I believe that my soul can find rest in my God. My hope comes from him. What are you putting your hope in? Stock market? Good luck. Our government? Good luck. The past and what you've achieved there, that's risky. The things that you can manage and control, even riskier, right? He says, my hope, my potential, my best next, that is found in him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. When we get tired, we need something to hold us up, don't we? We need an anchor. We need a solid something to lean on. He says, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. I love that. The psalmist is saying, when I put my hope in God, no matter what comes against me, and the world is going to be difficult, guys. There are going to be things that happen to you that don't make sense, but you won't be shaken because God holds you. My salvation and my honor depend on God. Notice that. They depend on him, not on you. Who are you depending on? Are you depending on yourself, your own energy, your own ability? You are going to get tired. Listen to me. God doesn't get tired. Amen. Never. My hope, my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock. He is my refuge. Here's a simple truth that I want to know. And by the way, I can say this and then we can go home. Jesus is the one answer to every question, concern, fear, every need that we will ever have. Amen. Oh, two people heard it. So let me say it again because apparently the rest of you weren't listening. Okay, hopefully they're listening downtown in Seminole. Now get this, check this out. Jesus is the one answer. Jesus. Not you, not some government figure, not some celebrity, not some bank account, not some job, not some relationship or friend or some idea. Jesus is the one answer to every question, to every concern, to every fear, to every need, and he will be forever. Amen. You need to know that. You need to know that and anchor into that because that's your hope. And that's what's going to give your soul rest. You say, okay, Tim, I want that. I would like to have that. How do I get there? Jesus told us in the passage that we've been looking at. Notice what he says. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke. Now you look at that and you go, well, that sounds like Jesus wants us to go to work. I mean, that means, Tim, you're telling me that it's not about what I do, but apparently, Jesus is telling me I got to go to work. Because you know what a yoke is, right? Let me give you a picture. This is a yoke. This would be an oxen yoke. A yoke takes two oxen and connects them together, okay, so that they can work in tandem, they can work in relationship to accomplish a task, right? It holds them together and connects with them. And they go to work. And you say, yeah, Tim, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that God wants me to go to work. Yes, no, not in work the way that you understand it. See, what God is not doing is trying to get you to do something that somehow is going to make him happy. What he's trying to get you to do is come to Jesus. And if you'll come to Jesus, you get to work alongside him. You get to figure out, discover. See, one of the cool things about the oxen, the yoke, is that sometimes they would take two oxen, put them together, two horses. It works the same way. And sometimes they would take a mature oxen and a less mature, a less trained oxen, and put them together so that the new oxen could learn from the old one. And the new oxen could discover the rhythm of pulling that they need to acquire. See what he's doing there? Not saying, come go to work with me. He's saying, come walk alongside me. Walk with me. You want me to show you? See, some of you are so tired because you're trying to figure out what you need to do to make God happy. And you've come, aren't you tired of that? And that's not what Jesus is saying at all. You want to know what work God wants from you? Check this verse out. John 6 says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent, who I have sent." So you know what your work is? To believe. Well, Tim, I can do that. Yeah. Check this verse out. "Abide in me and I in you." So we're supposed to believe and we're supposed to abide, because he says, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So I'm fixing to make you really happy. You ready? You know what God wants you to do? That's it. Believe. Abide. That's your work. That's the work he wants you to do. And when you put his yoke upon you, that's what you're doing. You're believing and you're walking alongside and hanging out with him. I do that. That's not too difficult. Believe. Abide. You say, "Tim, okay. Tim, I want that. But I'm struggling. How do I do that?" Check out this verse. Hebrews chapter 12, one of the best verses in the Bible. It says, look to Jesus. What are you looking to? Where are your eyes roaming to try to find that thing that's going to give you hope, that's going to give you satisfaction, that's going to give you purpose, that's going to give you direction? Where are you looking? He says, look to Jesus, because he's the founder and perfecter, maybe your scriptures say author of our faith, belief. See, a lot of us are struggling to believe. Look to Jesus. You're looking everywhere else. Listen to me. Ready? Lean into this. You ready? If you would try as hard to believe as you are trying to not believe, you'd believe. Jesus is saying, look to me. Come to me if you're heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest, and I'm going to help you to believe. Who, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, didn't care about it, and is seated now at the right hand of the throne of God. That's how you believe. That's who you abide with. But there's one more piece. We need to believe. We need to abide, and we need to follow. That's it. That's it. That's the work you're supposed to do. I've tried to find some other stuff. I can't find it. That's it. Believe, abide, follow. Check this verse out. 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, "For to this you have been called." What is he talking about? Belief, abide, follow. That's what you've been called to. That's your work. When Jesus said, come to me, he's saying, come to me in belief, abide with me, walk with me, learn the rhythm of grace, follow my steps. That's it, guys. And so for those of you who have been hanging out in do-oriented environments, welcome home. You're free. Believe, abide, follow. He said, because Christ suffered for you. And as a result, you don't have to suffer for him. You just learn from his example so that you might follow in his steps. Because he left you an example. That's really it, guys. Now, my lady friend came to me a few years ago that wanted me to beat her up. She kept thinking there had to be more to that. But I promise you guys, I've looked. I've looked everywhere, and it's not in here. It's just not there. Your work is to believe. Your work is to come to Jesus and abide in him. And your work is to follow his steps. That's it. Get this big idea. Write this down. Every single one of you, write this down and take it home and put it on your refrigerator. Do it. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you. Do it. Write it down. Believe, abide, and follow Jesus' example, and you will find rest for your soul. As a matter of fact, say that with me. You ready? Believe, abide, and follow Jesus' example, and you will find rest for your soul. Say it again. Believe, abide, and follow Jesus' example, and you will find rest for your soul. That's it. That's it. But you have to decide. When you came in to your environments today, you found this little card. Get it for me. Okay, you might be sitting on it. All right? You found this card. And see, here's the thing. Road trips require a decision. You got to be willing to get in the car and go. Right? You got to decide. I'm going to go. Listen, some of you are so tired, but you can't decide you want to take a rest. It's time to make a decision. Every one of you get this card in your hand. I want you to look at it. We would love to jumpstart your road trip, to kick you in the buttocks if we need to get you moving, to prompt you, to probe you, to push you, to do whatever it is to get you moving. And we've given you three ideas, but we've also given you space for you to give us your own thoughts. We simply want you to take this card and say, I've decided to do some things. And then you tell us what they are. Maybe your decision today is to follow Jesus. You've never done that. You don't believe in him. We want to help you with that. To move in that belief. Maybe you've never done anything with that, never expressed that. We'd love to invite you to take a step. Maybe that step is baptism, public confession of your faith. Right? To people. The Bible tells us very clearly that if we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, we're saved. And we're going to find rest. It really is that simple. Believe and confess. Baptism is a confession of your heart. It's an outward expression of an inward change in your life. That's all it is. We're going to have a baptism party in a few weeks at the beach. Some of you are just freakish about the beach. You just think there's something special out there. It's just water. But we're going to take you out there and let you go nuts, right? And we're going to baptize people at the beach. We're going to be baptizing our students at our night of worship here in this building on the 18th. It's going to be amazing. Last year, I think we baptized like 80, 90 people. I don't know. It just got crazy. We're going to be back. Maybe that's your step. You've never done that. Maybe you just need us to pray for something. A hope, a dream, a life that you're looking for. Maybe it's something completely else. But here's what I want you to do. Every single one of you, I want you to share something with us. It's time to take a next step. It's time to move forward. It's time to take a trip. Jesus said, come to me. What do you need to come to him with? What do you need to do that? Think about it right now. And in just a moment, I'm going to pray. And I want you to fill out the card on all of our campuses. Fill out that card. And when you exit your buildings today, what they're going to have is just some buckets. We just want you to put it on there. Because we want to walk with you. We want to help you. Some of you are hesitant to go to our prayer and care area because you think something weird is going back there. Not at all. But okay, then just tell us. We'll pray for you. We'll connect with you. We'll help you. Because we're better together, right? What do you need? I've decided today to place my faith in Jesus and believe. I've decided today that I need to take a step. Maybe it looks like baptism. I've decided today to relinquish my things that are struggling with, and I just want somebody to pray for them. I've decided today to start serving. I've decided today to start giving. I've decided today to start using my abilities and talents for God. Whatever it is, we want to know about it. So would you take a moment to fill that out? And let me pray for us. Let me pray. God, I can't even begin to imagine the life that you have in this combination of people we call Bridgepoint. The life and the power that exists for them, the release, the options, the hope, the future, the potential. And all we have to do is come to you. All we have to do is believe, abide, and follow you. That's it. Free us from the weight of all the legalism that exists for many of us. And help us just to trust that that's true. And then God, for many of us today, we need to step into belief in Jesus. Believing he is who he said he was. That he can do what he says he can do. And he'll do it for us. God, would I pray that my friends right now are reaching out to you. And that they'll make a decision to take a trip. And that they'll tell us about that decision so that we can walk alongside them. Whatever it looks like, God, I pray you would be God for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.